Final segment of today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We do switch topics in this final segment to something we do not have at the moment, knock wood, but get every summer. That, of course, is wildfire. As fire seasons get longer and more destructive, we examine them from different angles, beyond the damage and health effects now and onto the long-term effects. April Ehrlich, JPR reporter and producer and host, has been putting quite a bit of work into a reporting project on wildfires and health. She's here to size up the project before a reporting trip to Redding later this week. April, good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There are a million ways to cover the aftermath of something as big as the Carr Fire. Talk about the approach you're taking and how the whole approach developed.
Yeah, well, let me start with how it first developed. There was a study that came out shortly after the Carr Fire that looked at, it didn't look at the Carr Fire, but it looked at how vulnerable populations were being affected by wildfires, primarily people of color. And it was a study that came out of the University of Washington and the Nature Conservancy. And what they found was that people of color tend to feel the impacts of wildfires more so than white Americans. They are more impacted economically. And even though in these communities that are hit by wildfires, they're primarily made up of white people. There's like 76% white Americans in communities that are in high wildfire risk areas. But when wildfires hit communities where there are large, like census tracts where people of color primarily live, they face more impacts from that. So anyway, I wanted to look a little bit more into that. I realize that our region of Southern Oregon and Northern California is largely white, but we do have pockets full of Spanish-speaking communities, we have a Hmong population. We have a lot of Native American tribes. So I wanted to see how wildfires were affecting them. They're a community, those communities, we don't really hear a lot from them here at, you know, public radio stations where everything is primarily in English, and we just don't have a whole lot of engagement from those communities. And so I wanted to reach out to them. And so I started out on this project to start collecting those stories, to hear from people who were impacted by the Carr Fire or other wildfires in the past, or maybe they're preparing for wildfires in the future and they just don't know what to expect, whether or not their English is proficient, or maybe they're just not being engaged with by these fire prevention and mitigation plans. So, that's pretty much how it got started.
Did the study out of the University of Washington and the Nature Conservancy get into reasons? I mean, does it get to where communities of color are affected because they are somewhat more economically disadvantaged, therefore can't afford things like air conditioners, good ceiling on the house, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's layered. There's a lot of different reasons why people of color tend to be harder hit by wildfires. But of course, the economic disadvantage is that they are just generally economically disadvantaged. And so they don't come back from wildfire quite as easily. And also there's a little bit of wariness when it comes to law enforcement, you know, especially if you are Hispanic or Latino, or if you're Black, there's generally not a great relationship between those communities and law enforcement. So they're going to be a little bit wary of a police officer knocking on their door telling them to get out of their house. And there's also, the study found that Native Americans were harder hit out of all of the communities. They're about six times more vulnerable to the impacts of wildfire than white people are. And it's mostly because of displacement. These reservations that Native Americans live on, they were assigned in areas that are high wildfire risk areas. And they're also a bit isolated from resources when it comes to recovering from wildfires.
Particularly in the lower Klamath Basin for the last several years with these really smoky summers. I know the smoke has hung in there for months at a time. And these are regions that are heavily populated by Native Americans.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. The wildfire smoke is another way that people are impacted. So if you're a farm worker out in the field, you're going to be impacted by the wildfire smoke that more so than somebody who works in an office indoors. So far, I have interviewed a man with a tribe in the lower Klamath Basin. And what he told me was there was a fire once that they dealt with. He works with a firefighting team. It's kind of a loose group of people. But anyway, everybody in that community, like neighbors, helped put out the fire before CAL FIRE even got there. Because they're so isolated, it takes CAL FIRE like 2 hours to even get there. So to a degree, there's a bit of community reliance when it comes to fighting wildfires for Native American reservations. And really for any community, you know, like the Spanish-speaking community, if you know your neighbor only speaks Spanish and you speak Spanish, it's kind of up to you to go to that neighbor and let them know that a wildfire is coming and that they need to evacuate. So it's for me, this project so far is heading in the direction of the wildfire resiliency is really dependent on community support and community connections. So we'll see how it plays out as I continue talking to people.
April Ehrlich in the studio with me on the Jefferson Exchange, JPR reporter and producer and host, talking about her project on wildfire and health. And maybe you have some questions you want to add to the project. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You got a fellowship too a while back to put some extra voltage into the project. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I had applied for the USC Annenberg California Fellowship, which is a funding fellowship that focuses on health journalism projects. So I pitched them my story. I said I would like to explore wildfire impacts and see how it's affecting minority populations in our community. And they said that sounded great. So they gave me a grant and they flew me out to LA for a week, and I did some training, learned a lot about health journalism and how to engage different communities, which is what I've been doing. I took some of what I've learned and launched an engagement page on the JPR website. I'm just going to plug that. It's engagejpr.org. And if you go there, you would find a couple of forms that I've created where people can tell us their stories about being impacted by wildfires. And there's also a phone number, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but I created that phone number for people who weren't comfortable with going on the internet and typing out their story. There are some people who would like to leave a voicemail. And I made that bilingual, so it's in English and Spanish. And yeah, it was really fun putting that together. And I would really like to get more responses, though. So if you know of anybody who's been impacted by a fire in Northern California or anywhere in California, go to engagejpr.org.
And I have the phone number, too. That's 541-552-7180, 541-552-7180.
And the reason why it's only focused on California is because the grant stipulations is that this needs to be a project that is based in California. So I realize there's a lot of folks in Oregon who have been impacted by wildfires, but unfortunately, that's just not what my project is going to be encompassing. Okay. Although, of course, it is always interesting to hear from everybody because it could help us with future reporting here at JPR.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're not, yeah. So obviously, we you know, the reporting for this particular project, California based, but you know, the stories are always good things for us to have if we want to talk about fires in future years. Because one of the things that I find from many seasons of covering wildfires is we get big on the numbers. We get big on the acres burned and the percentage of containment, the roads closed, all the basic things that help you understand a fire and its size better, but we don't often get into these individual stories of people affected by it. That's really what you're after here.
Yeah, and it's really difficult for people who have experienced these things because they think, oh, I'm not that important. I didn't have that great of a story, yada, yada. But really, it's everybody has a story to tell. And I think all of those stories contribute to our overall understanding of how wildfires are affecting our communities. And, you know, as we move forward and as temperatures continue to rise, we are definitely going to be experiencing more wildfires like this. And I think the sooner we understand how to better engage with wildfire or live with wildfire, the sooner we could have stronger, more resilient communities in going into the future.
Liam Moriarty, our news director at JPR, went down to LA when you were doing your fellowship. What was his visit about?
Oh, it was about the same thing. He visited one of the days with all of our editors, and we all got together and just kind of talked about how we were going to go about this project and outlined our plans and talked about it with our editors in that way. But yeah, so it was more like how much work should we put into this project and how many resources do we have? And yeah, I mean, it was really useful having everybody there, and I learned quite a lot. And what came about in the end was I'm going to focus on this series and I'm going to look at different communities within our region. And I've kind of expanded it so it's not just people of color, but also people with disabilities and people who are homeless. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be looking at populations that are homeless, populations that have disabilities, Native American communities, and Spanish-speaking communities to see how wildfires are affecting them. And actually, I wanted to say one more thing. I'm going to Redding this Thursday and Friday to be, I'm going to be talking to people within those communities and collecting stories then. So if you are in the Redding area, you should definitely go to engagejpr.org and get in contact with me and let me know. There's a good chance that I could meet up with you and hear your story.
It is really interesting to get to the point where we do hear from individuals and what the effects have been like. You had arranged for us to talk to Robin Epley at the Chico Enterprise Record about her podcast, Inhaled. And it indicated some of the things we're talking about here that you can certainly get into some greater detail in your own reporting. But the idea that there are not only people affected by wildfire smoke now, but there are long-term effects that you can take, even if you're a healthy person, because of the gunk you get in your lungs if you've been exposed to a lot of wildfire smoke. And then there's the whole realm of people who had pre-existing conditions like COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, or asthma, who feel different things from wildfire. And it just makes it a pre-existing situation worse. There's a lot of angles you can take here, even within the realm you're shooting for.
Yeah, and I think the really frustrating thing is that people tend to think, well, my neighbor, they need to take care of their lawn. They need to take care of their landscaping. They need to get a new roof. Like, it's their fault that their house is going to burn down. But I don't think that they realize that, first off, their neighbor might not have the means to do all of those things. And also, they just might not be engaged with that community that is educating people about FireWise communities. You know, FireWise is a great program, but it's not a sort of program that's going to engage minority communities unless they're really going out there and reaching out to them. But these communities, that's part of the study as well, is that these communities are not being engaged with as far as like fire mitigation and resources for coming back from wildfire. And I think that in the end, I'm going to find, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure what we're going to find is that we need to create programs that have different languages, but also just different ways of reaching out to people.
Which seems like it's kind of a no-brainer in today's world, the idea that you have to take a bunch of different avenues to find people, because not everybody uses mainstream media, not everybody uses social media, not everybody uses English language media. You've got all kinds of different places to try to get people's attention.
And of course, the issue there is, where are we going to get the resources to even do that? You know, we hardly have enough money to even fight the fires, let alone educate people in a very, you know, complex and multi-leveled way. I imagine that it's definitely something that is not easy to do, which is why I think people should really get to know their neighbors, especially if they live in a high wildfire risk area, because it's going to be, in the end, up to individual census tracts and individual neighborhoods to really ensure that people are educated and evacuate safely when a wildfire hits.
I think what I'm hearing is get to know your neighbor.
Yes, definitely. I don't know how much time we have, but one interesting thing that I really like and that I really want to talk about, and I hope I get into it in my series, is how in Redding there's this growing Spanish-speaking community, but they don't really engage with a whole lot of people. And there isn't a nonprofit, as far as I could tell, and I could totally be wrong about this, and I haven't discovered them yet, but there isn't really a nonprofit out there or any sort of program that's really engaging with Spanish-speaking people. And it was really frustrating me because I didn't know how to get in contact with these folks. I did find a study that Shasta County did that it was a really complex study looking at how the Latino population in Shasta County is growing, but that's about the extent to which I found any sort of, you know, exploring of that community. So anyway, what I found in the end was the best resource for communicating with people who speak Spanish is a tienda, a little corner market in Redding. And so they've been my primary source of contact when it comes to reaching out to people who have been hit by wildfires or affected.
This is the community center.
Yes, it's the community center. It's the local grocery store. And I think that is really speaking to how important it is to get to know everybody within your community when it comes to preparing for wildfires.
All right, so you'll be spending some time at Atienda.
Yes.
Sounds like to get started in Redding. All right, April Ehrlich, JPR reporter and producer and host, thank you so much, and best of luck on the reporting trip in Redding later this week. First trip back since the car fire?
Yep, first trip back to Redding. It'll be interesting to see how things have changed in the last year.
Indeed it will. Thanks so much for telling us about what you're going to do before you do it.
Yeah, thank you.